We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to page Tet Vav in the standard editions. Daf Lamed Aleph in the Gemaros. The Mishnah had said, Al Shalosh Averot Nashim Metot Bishat Leidatan. There are three sins that would cause a woman's untimely passing during childbirth. Al Sheinan Zirot Benidah Uvachlah Uvadlakat Haner. It's, what are the three sins? So women have three mitzvot that are their responsibility within the home. Nida, the laws of family purity. Chala, the responsibility to take off a portion of the dough that they make and give it to the kohen. And lighting the lights, so that on Shabbos there are lights in the home. So if they are not careful about these three mitzvot, so those are the three sins that come to haunt them at a time of danger. We will see later that there are sins that come to haunt men when they are at a time of danger. So, nida maitaima, why are the laws of family purity mentioned here? What does the word nida mean? Literally, the word nida means to have a flow. So, a woman's onset is her flow. Now, let's do a quick overview. How do the laws of family purity work? A woman has her onset. From that minute onward, the couple is prohibited from being intimate. They don't touch. They separate their beds. They don't pass things from hand to hand. And let's say the average onset takes 6 days. So after 6 days, she stops having her period. And then she takes a plain cloth. They sell them in stores, gentle, so she doesn't hurt herself. And she checks herself, meaning she checks the area where the blood flows out of. She does a check, and she sees that she's clean. If she's clean, then the next morning will start the first day of 7 clean days. And for 7 days, after, let's say, the 6th day where she was able to check and she was clean, so then the following day starts a 7-day period. She will start the next morning. Every day she will check herself twice a day. And then after 7 days, if she's been clean throughout those 7 days, then she goes to mikveh. And when she comes home from mikveh that night, so then the couple are permitted to be together again until the next onset. That's in a nutshell family purity. So family purity means that on average, a Jewish couple will spend 12, 13 days where they're not touching one another. This happens to be a difficult mitzvah. It's not fun, but it is a mitzvah that really builds the bond between couples. It creates a renewal within the marriage so that there is a male tendency to get sick and tired of the same wife. It's been that way since creation. Women don't have this issue, but men have this issue. And by having the laws of family purity, so one of the benefits is that it keeps a renewed spirit. You know, every month a guy gets a new kala. Now, when a woman's pregnant, she doesn't have her period, so they could have 9 months where they're permitted. Then she gives birth, and let's say it takes her about 5 to 6 weeks to stop bleeding, so they're prohibited during that time. But then many women, after giving birth, when they're nursing, can go another 9 months to 2 years where they don't have a period. So it's not as though all of life the couple spends most of their time being prohibited. Under regular circumstances, they could have years straight where they're permitted, where the couple is permitted. But in a nutshell, that's the way the laws of family purity work. That's a quick overview. Now, when a woman checks herself, so she has to look at that cloth after she's checked herself. Sometimes you could just take a cursory glance, and that's wrong, because the truth is that the slightest drop of blood would disqualify the 7 days. You'd have to start from scratch. So it requires a certain diligence. Sometimes we recommend that couples do this as a partnership. They look together at the cloth. Some women are uncomfortable with that. Sometimes it's better for the couple, because then they share the responsibility. She feels like he's playing a role. He's taking a part in all this. It's not only her headache. So at the end of the day, it's her responsibility, though. It's her body, and she has to be on top of following the laws of family purity in regards to preparing so that she can go to mikvah. Obviously, there are laws of family purity that are both of their responsibilities. If they're not allowed to touch during this period, so then that's a mutual responsibility, etc. But in general, in terms of following through and getting to mikvah, and then the preparations for mikvah aren't easy. A woman has to make sure there are no knots in her hair, that she's perfectly clean. So there is a certain amount of diligence that's required. And the Mishnah says, when a person isn't careful, that's a sin that comes to haunt them. The the issue here is not that they're transgressing the commandment, they're not careful about it, so that comes to haunt them at a time of danger. And we discussed last time that childbirth is really a dangerous thing. Today, in this century, we have many advances in modern medicine, and as such, it's become less dangerous. Even so, there's a very high statistic that there are still many women that die at childbirth, meaning there are complications. People do bleed to death. People do have situations of infection and other issues, postpartum as well. Pieces that are left inside, parts of the placenta that can remain inside, that can cause a person to bleed to death. So even today, it has a certain intrinsic danger. So coming back to here, so that's the first mitzvah that we discussed is Nida. The Gemara is going to discuss why. Before we go into that, I just want to mention a very nice, I think it's the Meshech Chochma, that says, why is it that women don't have a mitzvah to have children? The husband has the mitzvah to have children. The women have a passive mitzvah. My husband has an active mitzvah. Pru urvu, bring children to the world, a boy and a girl. So he says, being that having a child involves pregnancy and childbirth, which involves pain and danger, the Torah did not give her this as a commandment. God created a woman that she has a natural desire to do it, but God doesn't command her to do it. The man is commanded to do it. He doesn't have a danger. And childbirth is not as painful for him as it is for her.
Not touching your wife. It's like even not holding the hand of your wife. Not touching whatsoever.
Right.
Even not saying I love you.
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't say that. I learned just now. I wouldn't say that.
If you give me a piece of paper, I'll write differently.
No, he said somewhere, but I said no, but he said there it's written.
Okay. I said, if you give me a piece of paper, I'll write the other way. Okay.
But why is that that opinion?
On Thursday night, we could go into where that opinion comes from and why I wouldn't say that. Thursday night. Let's get back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, why is the mitzvah family purity listed here? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, he kilkila bechadrei bitna, lefichach tilkeh bechadrei bitna. If she messed up with regards to her womb, remember, a period is actually a potential baby that was developing in the womb, and then if the woman didn't get pregnant, it comes out as her period. So with regard to the mitzvah of her womb, if she was not careful and she messed up, so that's why in turn she's taken to task with an issue that involves her womb. Teinach nida, the Gemara says, okay, you've answered me with regard to the mitzvah of family purity. Chalav adlakat aner ma'ika lemeima. What about the mitzvah of challah, giving off a piece of the dough to the kohen, and the mitzvah of turning on lights or candles in honor of Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, kedidarashahu glila alei derav chisna. Like that person who came from the Galilee, he gave the following speech before Rav Chisna. Rav Chisna was a rabbi who was a kohen, and he was the generation before Abaye and Rava. He was actually Rava's father-in-law. Rava married his daughter. So this person from the Galilee gave the following speech before Rav Chisna. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, God says, Revi'it dam natati pachem. I've given a certain volume of blood that is the basic blood that gives life. There's a, what we say, a revius. That's a very small amount. But that's a discussion in Rashi and Tosus. Does that mean that when a baby forms, that's the basic amount of blood it needs? Is that the basic amount of blood that the heart needs to pump? There's a discussion. What does it mean that life revolves around this small volume of blood? But God says, I've given this blood that represents life within you. Aliskei dam hizalti etchem. And so I warned you to be careful with regards to the bleeding, the menstrual bleeding to maintain the laws of the Torah in that regard. So that's the laws of family purity. Reshit karati etchem. God says, I've called you my first portion, my chosen lot, the people of Israel. Aliske reshit izalti etchem. And so I warned you to be careful with the first dough. It says when you make dough, so the first thing you should do with the dough is give to the Kohen. That's the mitzvah of challah. The Torah calls it reshit. Reshit arisotechem chalat arim uteruma. When you first make dough, you're supposed to take off a portion, give it to the Kohen. Today, we don't have Kohanim who are pure, so we take off a piece of the dough and we make a sizable volume. So then we take off a piece of the dough and we wrap it up and either burn it or discard it. But we do make a blessing and we separate challah. We have a rabbinic institution where we take off challah from dough once we make a sizable volume. Just a second, Yoel. Neshamash natati b'chem kruya ner. I've given a soul within you, and that soul is called a ner, a lamp. Aliske ner izalti etchem. And I warned you with regards to the lamp. You have life that's called a lamp, and you have a responsibility to turn on lights like a lamp in honor of Shabbos. Im atem mekayimim otam mutav. If you take care of the lamp, I told you to take care of God. If not, if you didn't turn on the lamps I told you to turn on, so to speak, God says, I'll put out the lamp I put within you. So that's the speech the man from Galilee gave. So again, we are called the first lot, and we are commanded to give our first portion to the Kohen, the first part of the bread we make. We are called the lamp, and we are commanded to light a lamp in honor of Shams. And if not, God says, you didn't put on my lamp, I won't put on your lamp. So that's the speech he gave. That's the idea that the Gemara is suggesting, the Gemara is saying, is behind these three mitzvot. Mai shna bishat leidatan. But why is it that specifically during childbirth, women are taken to task? So now the Gemara gives us a few answers. Amar Rabba. The first answer is by Rabba. When we encounter Rabba or Rava in the Shas, so with the hey, it's Rabba. With an aleph, it's Rava. They are both short for the name Rebbe Abba. It seems the name Abba was a common name. Even today, there are many, there are Sephardim that have the name Abba.
How do you not call them Kibbutz?
Yeah, so maybe that's why they made their name into an acronym instead of calling him Rebbe. You have in the Shas a few rabbis called Rebbe Abba also. So Abba was a common name. So Abba also meant Mister. Like Abba was also a term of honor. So it was a name. It was what people called their father. And it was also Mister. It says when you wanted to honor someone, so you would call him Abba so-and-so, Mister so-and-so. So Rabba and Rava are short for Rebbe Abba. They both had the same name. The earlier generation, Rabba, was a contemporary of Rav Chista. Remember, Rav Chista's daughter married Rava. So one of Rav Chista's contemporaries was Rabba. Now, Rabba and Rav Yosef and Rav Chista were contemporaries. So Rabba was very, very sharp. And Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Yosef couldn't see. And Rav Yosef was a master of tradition. He didn't have text that he could read, right? He didn't have Braille. He memorized all of Shas. He was the chief rabbi. He was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef. So we have three contemporaries. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rav Chista. Now Rabba had a nephew named Nachmani who was orphaned. And Rabba adopted him and brought him up. The only issue is that Rabba's own father was called Nachmani. So he has this orphan in his house that has the same name as his father. Makes sense. The kid was named after the grandfather, I guess. So Rabba didn't want to call the kid with his father's name. You're not supposed to do that. So Rabba gave him a nickname. He called him Abaye, my father. That's the Abaye we see throughout Shas. That's Rabba's nephew who he brought up. Instead of calling him with his own father's name, Nachmani, he called him Abaye. Abaye and Rava were both contemporaries, and they both learned by Rabba. So the first opinion we're encountering here, again, we said there's Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rav Chista. The three of them we're basically one generation. So Rabba says, is that watch on time? Seems slow to me. 7:30. So we're going to pause here after we've introduced Rabba. Next week we'll pick up with the answers that Rabba and the other rabbis gave.